It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
I am happy with Brock Purdy.
It's great to hear, Bonte. Spadoni in for Bonte, alongside the great, the noble, the sometimes insufferable, but we love him. Joe Shasky, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. It's the morning roast, and good morning to all of you just getting off work, getting ready for it, getting ready for school, getting ready for, you know what, for me, I'm getting ready for vacation, brother. Go golfing after today. I'm just so excited. You got Evan Giddings the next 2 days. But for today, Joe Shasky, you know, we had a great conversation yesterday in regards to the 49ers, Kyle Shanahan, the five burning questions for 49ers fans heading into this season. We had Brian Baldinger on yesterday, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. And Baldy was great. You can find that entire interview on Twitch, Twitter, or YouTube, where we are streaming each and every day, all powered by First NorCal Credit Union. And for a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. But Baldy, you know, he broke it down as best as he can. You know, the most important player, when he hears Kyle Shanahan, what he's like, all that sort of stuff. But the conversation turned into something about the head coach of the 49ers, not the quarterback, not the tight end, not Brandon Ayuk. It was about the head coach. Something about Kyle Shanahan is just so damn polarizing to this region, to this fan base. And we have managers here in the past, whether it's Bruce Bochy, polarizing, I don't know if I would use that word for Boch, respectable, everyone loves the guy, and because he was just so Teflon in those World Series runs, everything he touched turned to gold. I just don't think you can ever, like, harp on him, ever, and what he just did in Texas, absolutely you can't anymore. He's a Hall of Famer. Steve Kerr, though, I go to him, Joe Shasky, and trust me, I'll let you hop in here for a second. Steve Kerr has won 4 championships. He has won an Olympic gold medal now. He had everyone in the entire state of Massachusetts dogging him the last month at the Paris Olympics because he wasn't playing Jason Tatum, who just won an NBA championship. He gets more hate and more ridicule sometimes, and maybe even Kyle Shanahan. And the guy is one of the most accomplished coaches in the history of the sport, might be top 5 in the history of the sport when it's all said and done. So I say all that to say, Joe Shasky, what is it about head coaches that drive us nuts here in the Bay Area? What is it?
I just think that we're easy to criticize. I think we all want to play armchair quarterback, right? Like, we all get that. And in this region, you have had some pretty brilliant managers preceding some of these other guys. Like, look at baseball, for example, right? The older crowd, they had Dick Allen. They had Tony La Russa. They had Roger Craig, Dusty Baker. I mean, none of them has the resume. I mean, Lewis is close. I mean, he's really close. Bruce Bochy currently. But think about those. I mean, that's a who's who of guys. There was a point in time, you know, Dusty was beloved. Tony La Russa was modernizing the game of baseball, right? I look at basketball. Don Nelson, for all of his warts, was a mad genius. And we would criticize him, but there was also this caveat of, oh, he's never had any of the greatest players. Look what he's doing. He's making chicken soup out of pork bones, you know? And I'm just throwing analogies
not
out there.
Not bad. I'll give you a 2 for that one.
And then you got John Madden and Bill Walsh,
yeah,
right?
And Tom Flores, too.
I was just going to get to Tom Flores, right? And so not only are they innovators, not only are they trendsetters, I mean, you're talking about guys that are evolutionary steps forward in how we view coaching. So I also think this is the modernization of being a spoiled fan base. And I think that this happens. And when you have a 24/7 news cycle and multiple radio stations, multiple YouTube channels dedicated to just talking about one particular team, I think you can get into the echo chamber of everyone sucks. This move needs to be criticized. When in reality, we don't put enough stock into the actual players underperforming and overperforming.
Brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit goldenstatelumber.com. You know the number, 888-957-9570. You can call or text the Xfinity mobile text line. Shout out to Ken in the back. Shout out to Carter in the back, holding it down in absence of Sam Lubin. And also the great Matt Nahegan, who's getting here. This is the earliest he's ever been here. Matt Nahegan all week has been here like at 5:30 in the morning, Joe Shask. He's crushing it. And he actually is slicing and dicing a compilation for us of all the listeners. And we'll play it a little bit later into the show. We had like 20 or 30 callers just in a row yesterday, just giving their thoughts. When you hear the name Kyle Shanahan, you say this. And it was fascinating, the diversity of what they said, because everything else was pretty positive about the team. It's like, oh, the Niners aren't going to go far unless if they beat themselves. Oh, Brock Purdy, he's the face of the franchise. Christian McCaffrey is amazing, all this sort of stuff. But when you get to Kyle Shanahan, just something's different. And I just think it's so fascinating when we're heading into this season, the head coach who has taken you to two Super Bowls, who's come up just short, is still trying to win over a good portion of that fan base. And maybe, you know what? You know, we were on Twitter all the time, we're on social. I don't think it's quite representative of the entire fan base. I want to be clear on that, because I do think we are in an age where just because we see it everywhere doesn't mean that's the overwhelming majority.
Yeah, the loud minority.
Correct.
They get louder and louder.
And you can see that in politics too, absolutely, right? You see the same thing with it doesn't matter. You just pick whatever subject and you see it on social media, chances are that's not going to be the overwhelming sentiment.
Think about this. Like, forget politics. Think about your one friend who's got the Android. Aren't they always the loudest? Right? Everybody's got the iPhone. The one friend has the Android. Is that person not the most defiant and the most loud?
Well, I mean, it's...
Does that represent the group?
If we're doing the 95.7 The Game fantasy football thread, too, I don't think we're doing it right now because... There is one Android user, and his name is, his initials are DD, and he may be a host at the station. And
Is he an Android user?
Oh, yeah, big time.
That speaks volumes.
Big time. He does not want you to, he thinks we're in a cult with all these Apple iPhones, stuff like that.
Oh, Dan thinks we're in a cult.
Dan. Well, I said DD. Yeah, you can go by Dan if you want.
Oh, there interesting. We're in a cult.
We're in a cult.
Right. Got it. Okay.
Well, we are in a cult in a way that we're fanatics about football and our teams and stuff like that. But when it comes
I gotta stop
what,
on this.
What?
Like, there's always that one guy. So my cousin, JP.
The green text is the worst. No, like, if we're okay, talking about things that bother us, the green text,
no.
First and foremost, is the absolute worst.
Look, I understand on some level questioning authority, being a nonconformist. I appreciate it. Those types of people in society plow us forward.
Are you like a goth kid from South Park? You being a nonconformist?
Yeah, exactly. But like, no, that's how
night
that's
pain.
That's how we plow forward, right? That's how we break through and create innovation. But the Android diehard, die on the hill guy, you just stop. You've lost the war, my friend.
I think I had like the very first Android when it came out, and it had like the keyboard with it, but with the touchscreen. I thought it was so cool. And then I realized it was just a massive brick in my pocket, and I was like, this sucks. And then just the interface, everything's just so much easier with Apple and stuff like that. That's fine if you want to be different. That's cool. Hey, text in and call in with it. 888-957-9570, Xfinity Mobile text line. I don't care. Do you. But don't you dare join a 10-person group chat with the green text. Because not only can I not like something, or if I do like it, I'm going to get responded with a bunch of other Joe Shasky liked this, Carter liked this, Ken hearted this,
it's
Matt Nahegan exclaimed this. I don't need that in my life, brother. I'm sorry. I don't.
And it's like, the thing is like, okay, for example, I think that everybody rocking Jordans now, it's a little, okay, we get it. Everybody likes Jordans. But I'm not mad at anybody. Like, if I see somebody wearing some sweet Jordans, I'm like, good for you.
No, it's starting to balance out now. Speaking of balance, like, I see a lot of New Balances now because you got, like, the Jack Harlows, you got Kawhi. A Cooper Flag now apparently signed with New Balance. Good. That's actually kind of big for them.
Ohtani.
But I always associate New Balance still, and I don't care. Yeah, Ohtani, it's a nerd shoe. It's a dad shoe. It's a nerd. Like, that's Pete Carroll status. I know he rocks the Air Monarchs, but that's, come on.
But again, I'm not sitting here hating like, oh, you're part of the Jordan cult. It's like, you Android users, get off your high horse. That's all I'm saying.
That is. I hope Dan Dibley's listening at 888-957-9570. And also the free Odyssey app. Download that and thousands of other stations right there. And don't forget, you're going to hear from Dan Dibley talking with, maybe Joe Shasky brings us up at the Red and Gold Summit. Join us Wednesday, September 4th at Fremont Bank in Fremont. The address is 39150 Fremont Boulevard. Willard and Dibbs will get things started from 2 to 4, and the rest of the hosts, Joe Shasky, Ponta Hill, Steiny, and Goo, from 4 to 6 to talk about the biggest storyline surrounding the 49ers at the start of the season. You can come and watch as well. Space is limited. First come, first serve.
So here's like, you're talking about coaching and why we're so critical. I just think that, I truly believe this. The modern fan is the most educated they've ever been throughout the history of sports right now. And as time goes forward, I truly believe that you're just going to get more and more educated. The broadcasts do a great job of integrating the audience to the new rules and new formations and things like that. Video games, you know, you have more insight from players and ex-players than ever before. I just feel like the common knowledge of the sports fan is at an all-time high, and it's only going to get, you know, more. It's going to get more in depth. Yeah. And so I do believe that that leads people to second guessing every single trick, because they know more, right? Mm-hmm. And look, these are conversations that are being had in dugouts, on sidelines, in war rooms, if you will. I don't love that term, but you get what I'm saying. Yeah. Like in clubhouses, in front offices. So I look at someone like Bob Melvin right now.
That's a great.
Okay. Yep. And I want to bring Bob Melvin up just for a second. So I don't know if Bob Melvin's any good. I'm talking about with the Giants. I don't know about what's happened before. I've watched from afar. I've heard different fan bases. I think I could pick apart a lot of his decisions regarding bullpen arms, but I think I could do that for a lot of managers. And if I gave, let's just say, Bruce Bochy this exact same team, right, with the exact same variables and everything being the way it is, maybe they're a couple games better. Maybe. Maybe they're a couple games worse. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Does he inspire confidence in me? Not really. Not really. Do I want to run him out of town? Not really. Do I want to pick apart every single decision? No. Have I agreed with everything? No. But, like, at the end of the day, this team is where they're at because they're not very good. Mm. Right? And so I don't even think having the, whoever you think is the greatest baseball manager of all time, I don't think it's doing a whole lot. Just like when Shanahan took over the Niners, like, he's the same, similar coach. Yeah, I think he's gotten better at certain things. Mm-hmm. They were an expansion team. They had one guy that was a carryover who was a promising young player in DeForest Buckner. They had Jimmy Ward, who didn't know what position he was, and Eric Armstead, who didn't know what position he was. He has molded this roster into a powerhouse. And if I take those first 2 years out, where, again, they were basically an expansion franchise, he's been 54-29. He's been wildly successful. Now, in football, I believe X's and O's, coaches have way more of an imprint on the play of the game. Now, it's still up to guys to execute and all that. I think Kyle's really good. I think he's really good.
He's great. He is great.
Is he flawless? No. I think it'd be really difficult to find an upgrade for him. Almost impossible to find an upgrade from him. Are there a guy here, a guy there throughout the league that I might consider swapping him out for? Maybe.
Who?
I don't know. Maybe Andy Reid.
Maybe.
Right? But he's older. Right?
He also has Patrick Mahomes. So it's like that's he's graded on a curve exactly. Still even to them because he has the greatest quarterback potentially of all time.
Like if Andy inherited the roster that the Niners, and he had a bad roster in Kansas City, but let's say he inherited Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't know if he can make Jimmy infinitely better than what Kyle did. Kyle did a pretty good job with Jimmy Garoppolo in retrospect.
He did max out Alex Smith. I mean, that was pretty incredible.
No doubt. Yeah. But I think Alex was actually less risk averse than Jimmy.
Yeah.
You know, like Alex held on to the ball better, which is a wild statement.
He also had an entire season where he didn't throw a touchdown to him.
I know.
To a receiver.
Which speaks to the brilliance of Andy Reid.
It's pretty incredible.
Working around that. But like, you know, like Sean McVay. Like Sean McVay has lost his quarterback a couple of times. Well, when Kyle lost his quarterback, he found his way to get into the NFC Championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they had an unbelievable roster. Things were different. When they lost Stafford, they went right down into the tank, you know, for that year. So, you know, we'll see. You know, time will tell. But I think Kyle's really good. I also think when you lose, you become a lightning rod for criticism.
888-957-9570. I like that. Give me one coach in the NFL that you would take over Kyle Shanahan right now. And I'm not going to give you Andy Reid. Andy Reid's exempt. The Chiefs are exempt. Give me one coach in the NFL that you would take over Kyle Shanahan right now. 888-957-9570. We had a guy yesterday. I think it was Rodney. He was a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. He's like, yeah, I'll take Mike Tomlin over him. And me, I was like, Mike Tomlin?
I'm not. Yeah, I'm not.
I know he won like 20 years ago.
I have respect for him, but I'm not taking
him. Come on.
Yeah, you know, like Steve Kerr. You look at like Steve Kerr. Do I think Steve Kerr is great with in-game lineups? No, actually, I don't. I don't think that's one of his strengths. I think he has a ton of other strengths,
yes.
And there's a lot of stuff that is unquantifiable on game day for the average fan, because you're just looking at box scores and lineups and things like that. I know he brings much more to the table. Kyle Shanahan, outside of play calling, I actually think brings a lot more to the table than people give him credit for. I think we only think of him as an X's and O's guy and as a play caller guy, and I actually believe we underrate the intangible qualities he brings to the table.
You know what's funny? I bet if you polled people right now, and I get it, not the political stuff with Steve Kerr, because speaking of the DNC, just remove that from your brains. But if you polled people in the Bay Area right now, who's a better coach at their respective sport, Steve Kerr in basketball or Kyle Shanahan in football? I think a lot more people would be picking Kyle Shanahan.
You think?
I actually kind of do. Steve Kerr's Q rating right now, given what it's really not great.
That's interesting.
It's been like for as
That's
much.
That's interesting.
They just lost the Super Bowl, right? Kyle Shanahan. Like, they were so close. They went to overtime.
Yeah,
they lost.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that kind of makes sense, just given where the two teams are at. The Warriors just got bounced in a play-in game against the Kings, who didn't have one of their best players, Malik Monk. Like, I'd be curious at 888-957-9570, like, who are you taking right now in their respective sport?
Gosh, that's a great question.
Steve Kerr or Kyle Shanahan?
Well,
I do think if you do nationally, I think a lot of people think Steve Kerr is a product of Stephen Curry and having Draymond Green and all that sort of, which I think is kind of ludicrous, like, because we consider Phil Jackson the greatest head coach of all time, right, in basketball?
Yeah.
All he had was Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, Dennis Rodman.
But I also think he was a great coach.
He was. But,
and he understood how to tap into people. Like I agree with you. He had unbelievable rosters.
Steve Kerr's a great coach, too.
No, but he's on a short list.
Yes.
But we act like he's a bum, which he's not.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like,
he's not a bum. But so let me ask you this. Phil Jackson takes over last year's Warriors. What are the results?
Oh, boy. That's...
I think they're in about the same spot.
Probably. That's an interesting one, because... How would Phil and Draymond get? I think.
How about Phil and Kuminga?
I don't think Draymond respects Steve Kerr. I don't think he respects him to the level that he would potentially of Phil Jackson. Like Phil Jackson and Dennis Rodman. Phil knew when to let Dennis be Dennis a little bit.
Okay.
And I think that helped Dennis in the long run build faith and trust within his coaching staff and within his players. I do think that there is some sort of a strained relationship with Steve Kerr and Draymond Green.
That's interesting.
I actually
think Steve, for the most part, navigates the Draymond stuff. I mean, look, I've had a lot of issues with the organization as a whole. I'm not
Their
here to
handling
cape up
of the
for
punch
it.
And stuff
but
like that.
What other coaches are dealing with him and getting the productivity from? I think a lot of coaches will be like, I'm done.
I think just Draymond just runs rampant in that organization. I think he just, whatever he says goes and stuff like that. But we don't want to get into that.
That's a great question. Who is better at what they do?
Right? Is it Steve Kerr in basketball, or is it Kyle Shanahan in football? Who's a better coach in their given
sport? I feel
sport?
Like I'm disrespecting one by taking the other.
But I think it just goes to show, like, championships don't always mean everything for
no,
some
that's
people.
True.
Like, just because you win four titles, like, it's so hard to win in the sport of football. It is so hard. Not saying it's easy in basketball. I'm not saying that at all. But when you generally have the best players in basketball, you're going to get at least to the playoffs or to the finals. And for the most part in Steve Kerr's career, he had like four Hall of Famers, if you want to put Iguodala in there as well. Like Clay, Dre, Steph, and Iguodala. Like, it's pretty good. But at the same time, hey, you could have the dream team, right, with Andy Reid and have all these sexy names and players and then go 4-12 or whatever.
I mean, right? Belichick, we all think Belichick knows what he's doing, right? What did Belichick do once Brady left?
Well, didn't they go to the playoffs 1 year with Mac Jones and then just got...
It just caved in.
Caved in, yeah.
It caved in.
Well, after Josh McDaniels, for sure, then it was over.
I mean, I look at that roster, just in terms of roster, what he left was probably the worst personnel in the NFL.
Oh, I feel like sorry if Drake May has to start this year. Like, he's going to get battered and bruised and broken. Throw Jacoby Brissett in there. If I'm them, absolutely. Gerard Mayo and co. 888-957-9570. I want to pick up this conversation. Plus, you mentioned the Giants. They get the win over the Milwaukee Brewers. And as you know, Joe Shasky, it's actually pronounced Milwaukee, which is, of course, Algonquin for the good land. So 67-66, the Giants improve. Camilo Doval, old friend Camilo Doval, gets the win. Ryan Walker gets a save as they pick up Logan Logan Webb. He didn't have his best start. That's okay. They get the win nonetheless. And coming up at 8:30, we'll talk more Giants with Dave Fleming, voice of the San Francisco 49ers, Giants, I should say, and our 95.7 The Game Giants insider, and all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? And this segment was sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What up, what up? This is Big Pump from South City. You are now listening to The Morning Motherfucking Rose with my boys Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Love me some Big Pun. Spadoni in for Bonte alongside Joe Shasky here on The Morning Roast. And we just had Carter just going full admiral in the back.
You know what he was?
Who was he?
He was the get back coach for that you're going to see this weekend in a college game. Get back! Get back! Get back! He was yelling at the boss who came in to the studio, and he was like, get out of there.
Just like, no, he literally made eye contact with him because he can't hear him yet, but he just mouthed, you need to go.
He's also like 6'8".
Yeah, he can tell out to anyone he wants. Yeah, it helps.
He's a big boy. He looks like he could play left tackle for the Niners.
But you know what? The vibes are great when he's in there. He's not an intimidating 6'8", I would say. I see him. He's lovable. He's lovable. Yes, yeah, absolutely. Lovable.
But I think he's a killer on the court.
Is Kyle Shanahan lovable, Joe Shasky? Would you consider Kyle Shanahan a lovable figure?
No, but I don't think
no.
I don't think Bill Parcells was lovable, and I don't think Belichick's lovable. Like I think there's many different personality types for coaches that work.
One coach
is Spoelstra lovable.
Ooh, that's a great one. Probably not. He's on edge all the time.
If I took away the LeBron years, he's got a lot of Shanahan in him.
He does.
Schemes it up, and then his teams go really far. I mean, probably farther than most would expect. And then he loses at the end in the finals. But it's an accomplishment even getting there.
Correct. Twice, and I think both times he reached the finals. Clearly, his teams were lesser compared to their opponents. That Lakers squad in the bubble. So the bubble, I get it. They were home. If you want to throw that one out there, but I still think it was a tremendous accomplishment. And then Jimmy Butler's he's a one in the sense like. He can be a one if you don't have like a LeBron or a Steph on your team. But I think really you would like him to be a very high-end number two on your squad.
Yeah.
But the fact that he's taken him to two finals, it's a credit to him. And when we're talking about head coaches right now, because I just think it's interesting how we view head coaches in the Bay Area, because you eloquently put it, we just have such a rich history here in the Bay Area. John Madden, Bill Walsh, Tom Flores, Seifert, I don't think gets the credit he deserves.
No doubt.
Tony La Russa, Dusty Baker, Bruce Bochy, amongst others. Hell, I know, and he's the Giants manager now. Like Bob Melvin was really good. He was really good for the A's for a very long time. They won a lot of games. He had a couple iterations where they had to tear it down, bring it back up, and he gets credit for that. He just has a lot of shortcomings in the playoffs, and sometimes them's the breaks when you're facing Justin Verlander in Game 5 twice. Like, you have Sonny Gray or Bartolo Colon. That's just, it's not good enough. So sometimes them the breaks. And sometimes, if you're Kyle Shanahan, you're going up against Patrick Mahomes, and it's just... That's what happens, right? Now, I would say Kyle Shanahan is a more accomplished, he is a better coach in his sport than Bob Melvin, but it just goes back to how we view coaching. And we're going to play this little compilation here, not here, but maybe in the next segment or the end of this one. But just how 49ers fans feel about Kyle Shanahan, I thought was very telling yesterday. There was like 10, 20 of them. Just when you hear the name Kyle Shanahan, you say what? And it was just fascinating.
You brought up George Seifert. Do you have any recollection on why George Seifert got let go?
Not really. I was like 5 or 6 when it happened. But yeah. Enlighten me in the audience.
Well, no, it's just like, you know, he was the D.C. He's a San Francisco native. Always criminally underrated. The czar of defense during the 80s for a lot of those Bill Walsh teams. Like, I think Belichick has been elevated by being rightfully, for being D.C. for Bill Parcells. Parcells was a defensive guy, too, even though Belichick was the whole scheme. I mean, essentially created the whole thing. Seifert did that side of the ball, and he's the guy who basically taught people like Pete Carroll, you know, how to be a coach on that side of the ball. So I have a lot of respect for George Seifert. Some would say he was very hands-off when it came to offense. Some would also say, oh, he inherited Bill Walsh's team, which... It's true. Like the 89, 90 team, into 91, that was guys that Bill Walsh had put in place. But then they revamped themselves. Listen to how many wins he had each year. His record was 98-30 in 8 seasons with the Niners. 14-2, Super Bowl. 14-2, losing the NFC Championship game. 10-6, they missed the playoffs. That's the year, you know, Steve got hurt in the middle of it, but basically Montana was out for the whole year. Bono had to play. 92, 14-2, lose to the Cowboys in the NFC Championship game. 10-6 in 93, losing the NFC Championship game. 13-3, you win the Super Bowl. The next year, 11-5, you lose in the division round, first game against Green Bay. The next year, 12-4. And they lose in the playoffs, 12-4, and he's fired. He was 98-30.
That's actually incredible. That's like, I feel like Draymond Green, like, that's
absolutely incredible.
Now, Shanahan's been unbelievably successful, 54-29 since 2019.
You want a ring?
Two.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying, like, right, like, prior to that, like, right before, like, you just get fired, like, you're just 2 years removed from it. That's like Doug Peterson with the Eagles. And that was their first ever championship. And then 2 years later, yeah, see ya.
Now, times are different. And they wanted to spicing up the offense. There was a lot going on, right?
But I do think it's interesting where we view, like, the Bay Area sports landscape as very patient, right? We're not Philadelphia.
Yes.
We're not New York.
So true.
We'll let Gabe Kapler hang out for a little bit. It's fine. It's cool. You know what? They're trying their best, you know? But they were ruthless in the 90s. Like, because they were the team of the NFL. And they expected it. Like, and the Cowboys kicking their ass a bunch like that, I'm sure that contributed to it.
Absolutely.
And it is interesting that both those... The head coaches inherited the teams, right? Barry Switzer with the Cowboys, yep. And then Seifert, obviously, with Bill Walsh, and then Switzer, obviously, with the Jimmy Johnson. So, yeah, that's...
You couldn't get through Holmgren, too. So Holmgren was on the staff,
yeah,
and then he leaves. And you weren't going to hire him at that time because you'd won a Super Bowl with Seifert. And Holmgren had his number. Like, there's just no other way around it. Favre and Holmgren, and obviously the Dallas Cowboys prior to that, had his number, and you needed to... To make sense. So I'm not saying that same thing's happening now, but the Chiefs have our number right now. Like, and there's just, it's okay. You could say it. Yeah. And it sucks.
Yeah.
And it's tough to wear. But who outside of them has your number if you're Shanahan? Like, I think losing to them in the Super Bowl is not some fall from grace. It sucks. I don't love it. But I just don't see how you upgrade from them.
Well, you look at that, like, it's interesting because... You look at the performances from the quarterback with Brock Purdy ever since Christmas night, right, against the Ravens. He didn't have his best stuff since then, and maybe we'll see that week one against the Jets in less than 2 weeks on Monday Night Football when Aaron Rodgers and Bob Sala come into town. But you didn't see his best going there, and yet they kept still winning and winning and winning. I think a lot of that is the head coach and being in these situations before, even with a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo. Hell, Brock Purdy in his first run, he didn't have his best game against the Dallas Cowboys. That was a very physical and violent and defensive struggle. Both quarterbacks struggled. Brock Purdy struggled just a little bit less. He didn't give up, you know, a couple picks like Dak Prescott did, and that was the difference. And I think he learned from that. He limited his mistakes against the Packers. He got lucky. You got to have some luck because Darnell Savage drops the pick six. That could have changed the whole thing. Maybe you are one and done. But you know what? They got lucky there. They had the ladybug catch or whatever with Ayuk. You got a little luck. Better to be lucky than good sometimes. But they had a little luck along the way, and I think that was when Niners fans really started to believe more and more. And it's like, man, you know what? If not now, then when? And then you face a team in Kansas City Chiefs, Joe Shasky, that everyone all year long was saying, it's on a tee to knock this team off. Why are we letting them hang around? Justin Herbert gets hurt for the Chargers. The Raiders are an S show. They fire McDaniels. And the Broncos are the Broncos. Russell Wilson is just not the guy anymore. So they cakewalk the AFC West with 10 or 11 wins, whatever they get. They get the Dolphins in negative 30-degree weather. They weren't going to win that game. I love Tua. Actually, I don't love him that much. But that wasn't going to happen. And then they go...
I love Tua. I don't love him that much.
Sorry, Ken. And then they go to Buffalo, and then they win that. Oh, you can't win on the road. And then they go to Baltimore. They win that. Like, it was just a perfect storm, I felt like, for Niners fans. They're finally feeling it, Joe Shasky. And then it got ripped beneath them.
And they were relatively healthy.
Yes.
Relatively.
Chris McCaffrey was healthy, and he fumbles on the first drive. Brutal.
The quarterback's healthy.
The quarterback. Everyone. Trent Williams is healthy.
The
primary
defensive players were, for the most part, healthy. I think a lot of this has to go to a couple of things. Number one, I think the quarterback situation prior to Purdy plays a lot into everybody's, like, thoughts of Shanahan. And I think the overtime rule thing. I really think that the overtime rule thing, I just, it leaves a sour taste in everyone's mouth, and it's very difficult to defend. Not understanding, and then saying that you did, but we kind of like see all this other audio that said you didn't necessarily understand the rules and not necessarily like owning up to it. I do believe the overtime, although for some people it's unforgivable. For me, like, I go back and forth on it. It's very frustrating. You got to know the rules, though. That's what made Belichick Belichick, is knowing every little stupid rule. John Harbaugh does not have a Super Bowl if he doesn't understand. He was a former special teams coach. Mm-hmm. When they played the Niners, and after the Niners had that sequence where they threw the fade to Crabtree, oof, you know, Baltimore got the ball back.
Yeah, and they had the punter, yes, hang out a little bit in the corner.
Which was,
right,
a genius play by him. Yes. He had been working on forever. Like, yep, little areas of the rules, yep, and understanding how to, like, don't kneel yet. You got to, yep, hold on to the kneel. And, yep, they did a great job in that sequence, and they were prepared for that. It looked like the Niners weren't prepared for something that was pretty straightforward from the beginning of the year, and that's tough because that does fall back on coaching.
Absolutely. 888-957-9570. Talking Kyle Shanahan right now. Is there a head coach in the NFL you would take over Kyle Shanahan? I'm going to say outside of Andy Reid, but you can say Andy Reid if you want. Again, Andy Reid has the luxury of the greatest quarterback potentially in the history of the sport. Doesn't take anything away from him. He did take Donovan McNabb to the Super Bowl, to 4 straight NFC championships. He had a great run with Mike Vick. Alex Smith got to the playoffs a bunch of times. So he's a hell of a coach. But Kyle Shanahan, you're going to hear what fans thought about him on the other side. We have a little compilation, so that's going to be there. And then at 7 o'clock, Joe Shasky, we got Way Back Wednesday, and it's
Walk
a hump day.
Back.
Walk Back. I said Way Back Wednesday. That's a townie special right there. Way Back Wednesday here on 95.7 The Game. We got a Walk Back Wednesday. That's a new segment we just debuted last week. It's so new that I forgot the name of it. So we're going to do that at 7 o'clock. We're going to ask Ken and Carter. They got to come up with some, too. Basically, some takes. It could be sports related. It could not be non-sports related that you are feeling pretty bad about and that you want to walk back. So we'll do that coming up at 7 o'clock. More of your calls, more of your texts. And that's all going to be brought to you by, as I fumble around all these little papers right here, Golden State Lumber.
And you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Thanks, Adam. Spadoni in for Bonte Hill alongside Joe Shasky here. We're rolling on The Morning Roast. And we're rolling on this conversation around Kyle Shanahan. We picked it up yesterday. It just turned into this thing. And we're going to hear from some callers yesterday, some roasters, and how they really feel about one Kyle Shanahan. Plus, coming up at the top of the hour, we got Walk It Back Wednesday. It is a hump day, baby. Where's my Tim Hardaway at?
Happy hump day, people. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day. So, we're going to walk back some of our worst takes in sports or otherwise, Joe Shasky.
Yeah, I've got a couple sports takes I'm walking back.
What was yours last week?
Well, it was the Bo Nix, Sean Payton.
Okay, that's relaxed, too. Preseason, we're already walking back our Bo Nix thoughts. But I know Baldy's high on Bo Nix. He talked about that yesterday. We're going to hear some more from Brian Baldinger as well, who joined us yesterday, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. And 8:30 today, we got Dave Fleming, voice of the Giants. Giants 5-4 win over the Brew Crew yesterday. But Bo Nix, come on, we got to see more of him. Well, the guy was in college for 10 years and isn't a doctor.
And
come
I also walked back the, me pretending, like when people are like, oh, you're going to be tired when you have a family, you know, when you have a kid or whatever. And I was like, oh, yeah, I know you're right. I'm not saying you're wrong, but you don't know till you go through it.
Oh, you think these bags were just for show? You thought this was just makeup that I was doing every morning? Dude. No, it's two kids and a bunch of problems. No sleep. Yesterday, Benny just, it was really hot in Oakland. I did a fan and everything. Just comes to the top of the room, just chilling in the underwear, just drenched in sweat. Dad, I'm really hot. Can I get in this bed? And I was like,
no.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say no. I got the wife over there just saying, oh, yeah, come in here. Yeah.
Does he go in between the two of you?
Yeah, well, there's already the baby girl there, too, because she woke up. So I was like, I just went to the couch for 2 more hours, and that was great.
Sometimes that's the best sleep.
Yeah, sometimes. But for 2 hours, it wasn't enough. But that's okay. You know why? Because I'm hosting with you, Joe Shasky. Give me energy. Carter, Ken, Matt. That's what we're chilling today. All right? We're having a great time.
If I get another one of these texts on my way home, like, if you wake up the baby, it's on you.
It's on you. Jeez, I thought this was a partnership,
I'm like
right?
Sneaking into my own house, eating late at night after a softball game. I just broke in and I just want to raid the fridge.
Join 95.7 The Game at Harding Park Friday, September 6th for the Pettinelli Financial Partners Golf Tournament, benefiting the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. Joe Shasky will be there. Go to 95.7thegame.com to learn more. Presented by ATCO Pest Control, the Bay Area's locally family-owned pest control company. Give me that rat thump. Thank you. Rat on the table. And this segment is sponsored by Golden State Lumber, serving the Bay Area for 3 generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit goldenstatelumber.com. Again, Dave Fleming joining us at 8:30, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. We had Baldy join us yesterday. He was in the studio last week, but I want to play this sound in regards to, you know, what this team has to do this year. Who has to have a career year for the San Francisco 49ers? And this was Baldy yesterday, and we had a lot of different answers from the callers, from Shasky and myself. But here's who Baldy thinks needs to have a career year for the Niners to win the Super Bowl outside of the quarterback.
In the current state right now, I would say McCaffrey has to have another career year. He just had one, and the 49ers rode his abilities all the way within, you know, a couple of feet of winning a Super Bowl. I mean, McCaffrey is the guy that makes this whole thing really go on offense. So I would say McCaffrey has to have back what he did last year up again this year.
And that's, again, it goes back to the head coach for me, too, because I don't think there's a more perfect player and situation outside of maybe Mahomes and Andy Reid than I could think of with Christian McCaffrey and Kyle Shanahan. Like that is the player you want, Joe Shasky, in this offense. You and Bonte were talking about forever when he was with Carolina. Go get this guy. He's a Swiss Army knife. Yeah, he's had some injury history, but man, he has never had this head coach with that IQ when it comes to offensive exploits at his disposal. And man, it was just, it was watching poetry and art last year. Like, I've been to the Louvre. Like, that was what it was like watching Christian McCaffrey in that 49ers offense. Like, he should have been an MVP candidate, like a legitimate MVP candidate.
Agreed.
Offensive player of the year is basically not the MVP, but everyone else that's really good. It's basically the skill position award now. So Tyreek Hill, him, who else was there? Mike Evans or something like that. Like, that is basically what it is, which sucks because I remember growing up and like Adrian Peterson was like the guy. Sean Alexander's season with the Seahawks, amazing, right? Yeah. You would have these seasons where it's just
Tomlinson, Marshall Faulk,
right? Like I don't think Chris Johnson won the MVP when he got 2,000 yards, did he?
But I don't
probably
think
should
so.
Have though. Like in hindsight, 2,000 yards, CJ2K,
absolutely.
It was unbelievable. Like I just don't think we appreciate that enough. And what he does in the passing game, like, how can he improve off of last year? To Baldy's point, like, how can you even get better from last year if you're trying to limit his touches?
If we're going counting stats, I don't know how you can get better than last year. If we're talking like little situational third down, you know, plays between him and the quarterback, I think you can always get better. The more you play with someone, the more you understand their tendencies. Is Kelce freelancing with Mahomes late in games more deadly today than it was 2 years ago?
Yes.
I agree. And I think the same thing could be said for Brock Purdy and Christian McCaffrey. I mean, you saw it in that Philly game when they kept doing that little like out and then back up, that little wheel route, if you will, on the running back play. It's a lethal. That option route is a lethal play for Christian McCaffrey. I don't think they run it enough, you know, quite frankly.
Just spam it, right?
Yeah. I mean, and also you're going up against DBs as opposed to linebackers and D linemen in terms of, we're talking about hits and reducing the amount of hits. I'd rather see him get more of those passes out of the backfield than those, you know, running back dives.
Absolutely. 888-957-9570. Okay. I've been teasing it all morning. We had it yesterday. The compilation is just fascinating from 49ers fans and the Morning Roasters. And shout out to everyone calling in yesterday. We had a lot of first time long times. So 888-957-9570. Don't be nervous. Dip your toe in the water. We're not going to bite. Although if your call does suck, we will flush it. But that's usually when there's a bad connection. If it's first time, I'll give you a little grace period. 888-957-9570. I don't know if Carter will though. You look at that. He gave me a mean bug right there. He's like, I don't know, Joe. Standards are high. How are the standards for Kyle Shanahan? Here's how the roasters sounded off on him yesterday.
When I say Kyle Shanahan, you say what?
Tortured genius.
I love that answer.
When I say Kyle Shanahan, Connie, you say what?
Mastermind.
Ooh, I like that.
Not mad at that.
When I say Kyle Shanahan, you say what?
Plays to not lose the game instead of win the game.
When I say Kyle Shanahan, you say what?
He'll get you to the end, but scared.
When I say Kyle Shanahan, you say what?
Trying to be a guru.
When I say Kyle Shanahan, you say what?
Scheme master.
When I say Kyle Shanahan, you say?
Hate.
Oh, man.
When I say Kyle Shanahan, Robin, you say what?
Poor judgment at times.
Poor judgment at times. I like that. When I say Kyle Shanahan, Kev, you say what?
Aging football savant.
When I say Kyle Shanahan, you say what?
I'm going to say he's bullheaded. I mean, he gets in his own way a lot. He doesn't play players he's supposed to play. I think he's bullheaded.
The biggest threat to the 49ers in the NFC is what team?
Kyle Shanahan is the biggest threat.
When I say Kyle Shanahan, you say what, George?
It's about time, buddy.
When I say Kyle Shanahan, you say what?
Offensive savant.
I like that.
When I say Kyle Shanahan, you say what?
Eagles, Andy Reid.
When I say Kyle Shanahan, you say what, Chad?
Offensive genius, but underachiever.
There you go. Kevin Fremont.
Fraud.
I say Kyle Shanahan, you say what?
I say Kyle Shanahan, he's a no-ass-given type of coach.
Jacob, San Leandro. I say Kyle Shanahan, you say what?
A great coach.
Mike, Santa Clara.
Until he proves me wrong, Super Bowl choke.
That's what I'm talking about. Man, that was... It was just fascinating listening to all those callers call in yesterday. And just, that's raw. That's just, hey, word association right there. The first thing you think of, that's a therapy 101, right? Like, I say this thing, you say that. And for a lot of people, it was positive, genius, all this sort of stuff. But I think the overwhelming towards the end there, I was just like, yeah, this, he needs to win one.
What is his Achilles heel?
What is Shanahan's Achilles heel?
I think the common denominator from most of those answers is
coming up short.
You're really good, but there's this flaw.
But what is it?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, what is the Achilles heel?
What is the?
I don't think it's just clock management. Although no, I think we could pick apart certain clock management stuff.
It's hard to quantify sometimes, but you know it when you see it. Just getting tight in a game. You can see it as a spectator. You were there at Allegiant. I don't know if you could. It's more tangible on TV when you're watching and viewing it than I think when you're at the game or in a press box or whatever. Maybe if you're on the sideline. But you could feel a head coach getting tight on the sideline. And some of that has to do with your opposition, right? Like, yeah, I'm getting a little tight when Stephen Curry has the ball in his hands with a minute left and they're down four. But it's Stephen Curry. I think you feel that when you have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, and I felt that with Kyle Shanahan. Not to say that's wrong, but in those biggest games, I felt like he has gotten tight. And that kind of feeds onto the team, doesn't it? Doesn't it? A little bit? Don't you feel that from your head coach on the sideline?
Well, I used to see Harbaugh go crazy late in games, and then the team would kind of go crazy late in games in terms of losing their emotional stability.
Right?
So I get where you're going at. Yeah, mine would be like, I think... He needs to understand that you can't control every variable late in games with some of these play calls. You almost have to like live and die with the results of what the players are going to do and put a little more, how do I put this? Let the quarterback put a little more input on what's going to happen and live and die with those results.
So let go a little bit in a way,
yeah,
right?
Almost.
You got to let go a little bit.
Almost.
And that's
which sounds crazy.
That's really hard for him though, right? Like, we had a conversation here about, you know, Tom Brady wanting to be a 49er, and there was legitimate conversation to be like, well, I don't know if Kyle Shanahan can give up the control. I don't know if he could do that. Can he let Tom just take over and do Tom offense with little Shanahan variables? Would Kyle allow that? Like, that was what we were talking about, the greatest quarterback of all time joining your team, but the head coach who's never won a Super Bowl being like, I might know better though. Like, that was a conversation we had. Now, the validity of that was standing. But that is something that fans really feel, like, strongly about. Like, this guy feels like he's the...
Oh, O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!